This is the New Testament lesson. There was a rich man who was dressed in purple and fine linen, and who feasted sumptuously every day. And at his gate lay a poor man named Lazarus, covered with sores. He longed to satisfy his hunger with what fell from the rich man's table. Even the dogs would come and lick his sores. The poor man died and was carried away by the angels to be with Abraham. The rich man also died and was buried. In Hades, where he was being tormented, he looked up and saw Abraham far away with Lazarus at his side. He called out, "Father Abraham, have mercy on me. Send Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I'm in agony in these flames." But Abraham said, "Child, remember that during your life you received many good things, Lazarus in like manner evil things, but now he is comforted here, and you are in agony. Besides all this, between you and us, there's a great chasm fixed, so that those who might want to pass from here to you cannot do so, and no one can cross from there to us." He said, "Then, Father, I beg you to send him to my father's house, for I have five brothers, and he may warn them, so that they will not also come into this place of torment." Abraham replied, "They have Moses and the prophets. They should listen to them." He said, "But Father, if someone goes to them from the dead, they will repent." He said to him, "If they do not listen to Moses and the prophets, neither will they be convinced, even if someone rose from the dead." This is the gospel of God. I'm grateful to Christopher for the offer of the pulpit of this church, for the offer to worship with you, for Christopher's gracious words, a fine example of exaggeration. But I am pleased to be here. I've been here before, maybe 20, 25 years ago. Perky Daniel invited me here to a funeral. When I came in, there was a dark wreath on the door. The ushers were tiptoeing around like pallbearers, and a little covey of worshipers were gathered in here. I asked Perky who died, and she said, "The church." I said, "Was it a painful death?" She said, No, died in her sleep." Well, if the church died, then we are a part of a resurrection. Just look at this. I can't believe it. The same place. I do hope you have parties. You have so much to celebrate here. Some churches don't have parties. They think it's, inappropriate for people who live in the shadow of the cross to be having a party. Some think it's insensitive. Insensitive to have a party when there's someone crying not too far from here. I don't know. Some churches have parties. Nettie and I were invited recently to a church for a party celebrating an anniversary. Great worship service planned, but on Saturday night preceding, there was to be dinner and dancing. And dancing? I don't know. I know what my mother would say. There's a strong tradition in Eastern Orthodox churches, some of them, to gather not only on Easter Sunday, but on Easter Monday, and spend the day gorging themselves on extra good food and telling jokes, how God played a joke on the devil by raising Jesus from the dead. In a little church in Roane County, Tennessee, where I served as a student, 40, 50 people, wonderful day, Easter, breakfast, all together at breakfast, worship service, but then come back together on Sunday night, Easter night, push the pews against the wall, sprinkle cornmeal on the floor for good shuffling, and then square dance. Gents in, back to the bar, ladies in, form a star, round and round, Indian style. Of course, I didn't participate, in case you're wondering. I said, why the party? This is Easter. They said, we're dancing on the grave of death. Death is dead. Where did that little church get that? I think they got it from Jesus. Luke is absolutely fascinated with the social life of Jesus. Not the other writers, super serious they are, but Luke is interested in the social life of Jesus. He said to his audience once, John the Baptist came among you and he didn't have a party, he didn't go to parties, ate locust wild honey, stayed by himself out in the desert. And you said he's too austere, he's too grave, he's like a funeral. And so I came among you eating and drinking and attending parties. And you said, look at him, he's a glutton and a wine bibber. You're hard to please, people. Jesus was called a glutton and a wine bibber. And if you read Luke's gospel, how many times he's at a dinner banquet speaking to those in attendance. Chapter 14 of Luke's gospel is party, party, party. He not only attended, he talked about it. He talked a lot about it. About the appropriateness of parties and when and what and where. In the heart of Luke's gospel, there are three stories Jesus told, all of them about parties. And he had his own special word for party. Euphrino. Euphrino. That's the Greek word. It's going to be on the test. Euphrino. I was told in a Presbyterian church I should use at least one Greek word. Euphrino simply means to party. No other gospel writer uses it. Luke uses it 6 or 7 times, all in these stories. It's translated, the word is translated, different in each case. I don't know why. In the first story, in chapter 12, the lesson is clear. If you're going to have a party, go ahead and have it. Don't postpone it. There was a certain man whose land brought forth big crops. And every year, big crops, big crops. Fill the barns. He said, what in the world am I going to do? I got to build bigger barns. He built bigger barns. He had more. He built bigger barns. He had more. And he just went on and on and on. And finally he said, enough. Eat, drink, and euphrino. Be merry. Have a party. And there he said, let's have a party, and drop dead. I'm sure his wife said, he talked about having a party, but he didn't want to have it too soon. He wanted to make sure he had plenty and some in reserve, and so he postponed it. He didn't understand what you and I understand, that all parties are premature. If you're a cautious soul, it's always we should wait. What was your grade point average this semester? Well, I had a 3.6. Really, a 3.6? I bet you're going out and celebrating. Well, no, they say next semester's tougher. I'm going to wait. Doctor, did you? How was it? Doctor gave me a good report. A good report? Yeah. Well, I bet you're having a party tonight. Well, no, winter coming on, a lot of germs and everything. Going to wait. Had a wedding in your family, did you? Yes, well, there are 1,000 delights about a wedding. I bet everybody's having a great time. No, we're going to kind of wait about that. You know, some marriages don't last. New baby in the house? A girl? Wonderful. What's her name? Elizabeth? Beautiful name. Everybody's wanting to hold the baby, aren't they? Well, we're not having much of a party. Why not? Well, you know, some girls turn out bad. We're going to wait. And the man said, we're going to wait, we're going to wait, more barns, and finally he said, let's have the party. And he dropped dead. It was too late. Those things that he had belonging to him now belong to whom? Strangers crawling over his furniture piled in the front yard. Auctioneer getting what he can. Is this authentic? Is this an antique? I'll give $20 for this. What do you do with this? Is this genuine? Over his goods, he's dead. If you're going to have a party, hurry up. Story number two. If you're going to have a party, be prepared for criticism. And Jesus said, there was a certain man who had two sons. The younger son said, Dad, I want my share of the inheritance. I've had it around here. He gave the sons their inheritance. The younger son went away in the far country, wasted it, blew the whole thing, eating with the pigs. Finally came creeping home, penitent, smelling of pigs and cheap perfume. And the father gave a party. Kill the fatted calf. Let's have a live band. Call in the neighbors. And they began to euphrino. Celebrate. And there was music and there was eating and there was dancing. And there were critics. The critics standing around listening to Jesus said, Jesus, you're sending the wrong message here. You don't give a party for a prodigal. If you're going to give a party, give it for the one who stayed home and worked. You're sending the wrong signal there. But the father said, in a strange sentence, we had to have the party. We had to. Dei, necessary, is binding. Because he was dead and is alive, he was lost and is found, it is appropriate that we celebrate. The older brother said, I don't think so. Now, I want to be honest with you. I think the older brother has a point. The prodigals in the world get the parties. Those that stay home and work, where's the party? In our life together in Oklahoma, we had neighbors that had several children, and the girl among them was rather wild, hanging on the back of every Harley that went through town, truant at school, full of drugs and misdemeanors, time after time and before the judge. And finally, the judge sent her to a correctional institution for girls down in the southern part of the state. They say she was pregnant at the time. After about a year, the word drifted back into the neighborhood that she was coming home. You think she'll have that baby? You think she'll bring that baby? You think she's really going to come home? The day that she was to come home, I was out in the yard mowing my grass. I mowed it several times looking up there. Finally, a car pulled in and out. Someone came out of the car. Out of the house came a dozen people grabbing her, grabbing that baby, passing the baby around, balloons and singing and everything, just within a block of our house. I went in the house. I was afraid that they would call down there and say, Fred, Nanny, she's home and she's got the baby. We're having a party. Won't you come on? Look, I teach in seminary. I can't go to a party for a prodigal. Because, you know, within a block, Forgiveness looks exactly like condoning. Do you know what I mean? Before the EUB, Evangelical United Brethren Church, went out of existence, merging with the Methodist, there was a little church in our town of that denomination, and I had a phone call on Sunday morning from some of them. The call came about 9:15. A frantic woman said, "Can you come and teach our Sunday school lesson?" And I said, "It's already Sunday. What Sunday did you have in mind?" "Today." "Well, it's almost time to have the class." "We know it. We don't have a teacher. Come and teach us." I said, "Well, I have to prepare." "Well, we're studying the parables, and it's the parable of the prodigal son. You can do it blindfolded. Come on down here." "Well, I don't like to do it." "Well, okay." Reluctant. A little upset, a little peeved. On the way there, I said, "I'm going to play a trick on them." So I went in and I said, "The story is so familiar, I'll not even take time to read it from Luke 15. But it goes like this. He gave his substance to his two sons. The younger son went into the far country, wasted his substance on riotous living, finally came to himself, repented, came home, confessed, 'I've sinned against heaven and in your sight.' As he drew near the house, he heard music and dancing. And he called one of the servants and said, 'What's the party for?' He said, 'You know, your brother stayed here and worked while you were out partying. Your dad appreciates him and has given him a party.' And some woman in the back of the room said, 'That's the way it should have been.'" I dare any of you to say she didn't have a point. If you're going to have a party, prepare for criticism. Third story I read to you a moment ago. It's about a party. A party a man had by himself. He dressed in linen and purple, the first century equivalent of tuxedo. Dresses up every morning in a tuxedo and has a big banquet. It's translated, "feasted sumptuously." You know what the word is? You fry know. He partied every day. But it was not an ordinary party. It was a gaudy party. The lights were on. Luke even adds in this story another word besides gaudy party. Says, "with all the lights on," lampros. Why all that? He wanted to be seen, flaunting his wealth, eating those big meals, having a party for himself, but with the curtains wide open so everybody could see him. But that was his flaw. Because while he intended for everybody to see his wealth, his opulence, and his partying, when he opened the curtains, he not only was seen, but he could see. And sitting at the curb, a beggar. Now that is a party against the law. If you're going to have a party, don't have a party that's against the law. What law did he break? Not to disturb the neighbors? Oh, no. That's not it. He ate in full view of somebody who was hungry, and he did not share the bread. That is not an option. That is the law. If you see someone in need, open wide to generosity your hand toward the person. If you keep a fast, remember that the fast that God loves best is to share your bread with the hungry. If you are a farmer, do not harvest the fields right to the end of the row. If you have olive trees, don't get all the olives. If you have grapevines, don't gather the grapes that fall on the ground. Leave them for the poor and the stranger. The poor and the stranger, why? Because I am the Lord your God, and this is the law for the people of God. Quote scripture till you're blue in the face. The simple fact is this. If some eat and some don't eat, the law has been broken. The law of God. to care for those who are hungry. If you're going to have a party, make sure it's not against the law. Some years ago, I was a part of a large group gathered at Clemson University. It was on world hunger, a lot of important people there making speeches. Before the first speech, there was a slip of a woman, slender, young, small, I would say in her 20s, straight blonde hair, no makeup, got up in front of us at a little lectern. And she talked so softly I could hardly hear her. In fact, I couldn't make out what she was saying. And I kept listening, and there got to be a rhythm to what she was saying. And I said to myself, she's repeating something. She's repeating something. Finally, she got into French and German, and I could make little snippets of it. But finally, into English the last time. She said, Mommy, I'm hungry. 65 times she said it. The major languages and dialects of the world. Mommy, I'm hungry. Came down 85 to come home. The first marquee I saw blinking in my face on the side of the highway was one that said, All you can eat, $5.99. I've never seen such a vulgar and obscene sign in my life. In full view of the hungry. According to Luke 14, Jesus was at a dinner party. Must have been a big group. They were scrambling for seats. Wanted to get at the head table. Jesus looked around to see who they were, and they all looked alike. Came from the same economic level in society, same cultural level, same educational level. Sort of looked alike. We'll meet at my house this week. Next week we'll be at your house, and then we'll be at my house, and then we'll be at your house. It was neat. And Jesus looked around and noticed who was at the party, and he clinked his spoon on a glass and got everybody's attention. And he said, I have an idea for a party. What? What is it? Whenever you're making out your guest list, and they knew.